Today, as we recognize the baptism of our Lord, we hear the reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You are a human being. How old were you when you were able to comprehend that? Or when you were able to explain that to somebody, what it meant to be a human being? Probably you were 3 or 4 years old. Professor Tigan could do it when he was 1. But prior to that age, prior to age 3 or 4, when you could intellectually comprehend and verbalize that you were a human being, prior to that, let's say at age 2, were you not a human being? Your ability to speak about it, your ability to intellectually comprehend it, did not prevent you from being a human being. But maybe by age 4 or 5 or whenever it was, you finally were mentally now able to grasp that concept and speak about it and to verbalize it, even though you had been a human being from your birth, in fact, from your conception. The day that I was born, because of medical complications and fear that I might die right away, my parents immediately had me baptized into the Christian faith. And as we just sang in that beautiful hymn, I was now a child of God. And that meant, according to the scriptures, to be baptized into Christ meant so many wonderful things. I had been brought from the kingdom of darkness, belonging to the devil, into now the kingdom of light through faith in Christ. When you look at all the passages in the Bible that describe what takes place in baptism, how amazing they really are, that we are clothed with Christ and with his holy righteousness. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The forgiveness of sins is poured out on us. It's the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We are cleansed. We are made holy through the washing with water through the Word, St. Paul writes. Beautiful passages describing what takes place for you and me in our baptism. Now, that happened for me the day I was born. I did not come to be able to intellectually grasp and comprehend it and speak about it, however, until I was probably 3 or 4 or 5 years old. But prior to that, let's say at age 2, my lack of ability to mentally talk about what it meant to be a child of God or to describe it to somebody did not prevent me from being a child of God, a Christian. But a time finally came in my life when I was able to express that and mentally comprehend and understand that as well, because I was then educated in the Word that taught me about that gracious water and what it had done for me. Today we celebrate our Lord Jesus' baptism. When he came to be baptized by John the Baptizer, John himself thought that this was a reverse order. If anything, Christ should be baptizing him. John very well knew the saving power that comes in baptism. And the Savior himself wouldn't need saving power. He doesn't need the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't need righteousness given to him. He already is the Son of God, holy and perfect in every way. And so John wonders, why in the world would Jesus want to be baptized? If anything, it should be the other way around, that Christ baptizes him. But our Lord Jesus chooses to enter the water so that you and I can have his power and righteousness in the water that touches us. He says to John, this must be done in order to fulfill all righteousness. And because Christ himself enters your water, your baptism, Your baptism is now just not something that happened when you were little. It's not just an event that you take pictures about like your second birthday party. It is not merely an outward act that somehow cleansed your head or your body, but it is now the sacred washing because it connects us to the saving power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text says it so beautifully, and you can't get it more simply. Peter says, baptism now saves us. It saves us eternally. Not because it removes any dirt from our body, but, he says, it gives us the pledge, the guarantee, the contract, the Greek word means, it gives us the pledge of a good conscience toward God. Peter even draws upon the imagery of the ark at the time of the flood and how the ark by the water was lifted above the great destruction that was going on below. And the water spared those eight people who were inside of that ark and uses that now as an antitype and a picture of baptism, the water that now saves us from the destruction of hellfire. Think what an amazing thing Christian baptism really is. We get tempted to look at it kind of the way the world looks at it a lot of times, but when you really look at how God describes it, what an amazing and beautiful thing it is. And may we never forget what it gives you, what it gives us. Martin Luther said this about baptism. He said, just think, if there were a doctor who had the skill so that people would not die, and if they died, that they could soon come back to life and then live forever, if a doctor had that power, he says, how the world would make money and shower and rain down upon this doctor so that no one could come to him because of his wealth. But now, he says, here in baptism, everyone receives such a treasure without price and such a medicine is brought to his door that slays death and keeps all people alive. Imagine, if you will, a child who is born into a very wealthy family with wonderful parents. And that child now is about someday to inherit the entire estate of these wealthy parents. And yet the child chooses, let's say in his teenage years, to walk away from the parents, to reject them, to disown them, and runs away and instead lets himself go and live in abject poverty, eating out of dumpsters as if he had no family and as if nobody cared for him. When all this time back home, his mom and his dad still love him, they still look for him, they still desire to have him come back, and they still consider him their own flesh and blood child. His rejection of their status, of being their child, has not changed what's going on in their heart, has not changed their intent toward him or their desire to love him. Their intent about him remains constant, even though he has thrown that love away. You are a child of God by your holy baptism. God claimed you as his own. You belong to him. Because of that, you will inherit the estate of his heavenly kingdom someday. Now, you and I may be tempted because of our sinful human nature to throw this all aside, to throw away this wonderful status. We may be tempted to run away from God. We may be tempted to disown Christ. We may be tempted to go and act like the world and to eat out of its dumpsters and to act as if we do not belong to Christ by our lives. But that does not change the desire in the heart of God toward you and toward me. It does not change the intent that your gracious Heavenly Father had when he put you into that water. Many have at times wandered away from the covenant of baptism by their lives and by their hearts and so on, and yet later in life realize what a blessing their baptism was. And realize what that status really did mean for them, and by God's grace are brought back into it once again. But there's no reason for them to get rebaptized because God is the giver of it, and he never changed. His side of the covenant and the agreement remained the same even when people had walked away from it. And so may you and I today, in this Lenten season and throughout our lives, go back to the water of our baptism, and may we appreciate all over again who we are. I am a child of paradise. Amen. Please rise and join with me in a prayer on page 152 in the front part of your hymn book, page 152. Prayer number 37 on page 152. Father in heaven, as at our Lord's baptism in the Jordan River, you once proclaimed Jesus your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized in his name may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and with him be heirs of life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.